earlier this year to become a lead associate, and I was successful. And I'm looking at a project which I think probably combines two passions of mine, which is helping students sort of transition into the world of work, but also the idea of co-designing and co-creating projects with students and with colleagues. So I've already done a few activities which involve students doing forms of peer mentoring to help students find places, and I'll share those two things with you. But what I want to do is, I suppose as a result of doing those particular activities, I came up with the idea of kind of moving, taking that on further. And so what I'm looking at is to design and a pilot, an undergraduate peer mentoring placement advisory scheme for students in my department, which aims to involve students, academics and non-academic staff in co-designing and in the delivery and evaluation of the scheme. And the scheme itself is designed to support the mentees to explore and articulate their own skills and attributes, so kind of that sort of looking inwards, but also to help them look outwards as well and actually see what's out there and try and do that sort of matching process. So that is what would be in it for the mentees. For the mentors, there needs to be something in it for them. I think obviously it's a very good thing for them to have on their own CV if they've engaged in that sort of activity. Some training for them as well. And also I want to explore the possibility of that role for them doing, undertaking that activity, becoming eligible for them to apply for the Hallam Award. And obviously as an output of this particular project, to try and get a sort of peer learning methodology for use of adaptation in other subject disciplines. And we've already heard today that there is this peer mentoring that is going on, so I know that I'm not doing something entirely new, and actually what I want to do as part of this is try and pull together some of the good practice that is already happening out there. So I thought it would be useful just to give you a little bit of context about our department, because it's I think it is a challenge, probably the same for some of you as well, when you've got a very wide range of different disciplines within a single department. So I've just given you the disciplines by programme up there. So we have three separate undergraduate programmes, architecture and architectural technology, and then we've got the sort of built environment, as you can see, the second one down, very vocational, construction quantity surveying, real estate building surveying, and then we have the less vocational, geography, environment planning, housing and regeneration. And then I've just listed here the our undergraduates offer. And what I've tried to do is, I suppose, put that on a spectrum between ones which are perhaps the least vocational, moving towards the ones which are the more vocational. And as a generality, for the ones that are more vocational, you have got clearer career often linked to professional bodies. We have a bank of large and small employers who seek placement students and graduates. So you might think, well, on the face of it, life is much easier for those students. And then for the less vocational, employers rarely specify these disciplines when they're advertising for long and short placements, and they often lack awareness of what those students are acquiring in terms of their skills and knowledge on those particular courses. And often the students aren't as aware as they should be as well. So to try and deal with that departmentally is a challenge. And just to point out, these aren't quotes. These are just, I tried to capture some of the sort of two ends of the spectrum, really. So these are some of the things that have been said by these different sorts of students. So a human geography student, this has all been said to me at some point in time. I chose this course because I like the subject, but partly because I don't know what I want to do as a career. Then you get sort of negative responses about employers are not looking for geography students. I can't really articulate what skills I've got. I don't really think there's any employability skills on the course. I don't know where to start looking. I don't know what's out there. At the other end of the spectrum, employers are always looking for quantity surveyors, particularly now. There's a shortage, the money's good, there's lots of opportunities in different sorts of organisations, large and small. I know that I'm applying to global companies, and I'm specifically looking for infrastructure projects. And then you've got a sort of range of responses in between those two extremes. Now that makes that very challenging if you are working, let's say, as a careers advisor, trying to advise all these students with these different starting points. In terms of careers and placement support in our department, I mentioned earlier that we've got advice and activities embedded in PPD programmes. Again, as I said earlier, but the tutor advice and enthusiasm for that is variable. We have got proactive careers advisor, and she's really trying to do lots of innovative things, but there's one of her, it's a big department, and again, a challenge for her because of the range of disciplines. We have got good coordination between placement team and key academics. Very, very good relationship, so that process works well. And I organise a careers day. It's gone through various titles. Last year it was called a careers fair, and it used to be called an employers fair. Now we're calling it a careers day. And I'll say a little bit more about that. I also mentioned earlier that placements and work experience undertaken by the students is no longer, for the majority of courses, credit bearing. So that's a challenge for us in terms of making that transition. So just to tell you a little bit about the careers day. Again, you probably have them in your departments. We have one specifically for our department, and that was the purpose of the day as we set out last year. So for students studying vocational and non-vocational courses at all levels, to meet employers, professional bodies and fellow students to investigate a variety of career options. So we make it very clear that it isn't just about going and talking to the employers at the careers day. So there's a variety of activities that go on that day. But obviously that's a big part of it, exploring opportunities for placement and graduate opportunities. And in some instances, putting the application forms in during that day. And then obviously something in there for the employers themselves. So the activities related to that, I produce something called a prepare for the day booklet. And so it's got information about what you need to do in preparation, doing your research, etc., how you should behave on the day. And then there's some workshop sessions as well to help students boost their confidence if they're a bit worried about going in to talk to employers. We do have, obviously, the big part of it is the careers and employers, the fair bit, the exhibition. We never have any problem in filling the stands there. We have to turn employers away. The capacity is around about 60. But what happens is, remember the two extremes of the vocational and the non-vocational? They are, most of the employers who come are looking for built environment students. So often those students on the less vocational courses feel a little bit short-changed, and we have to work with them separately about how they can promote themselves with those employers. And partly as a result of that, that's why we developed these other activities. So last year I had a student panel discussion, which I filmed, and I'm going to show you that film, which is about 9 minutes long. And then also careers speed dating workshops, which I'll go into a little bit more detail about. So if I can get the film set up now.
or a student who'd come back from placement would talk to that group of students and interact with them for 10 to 15 minutes. And I'd set, a bell would go, the students would stay in situ, and the employer stroke placement student would rotate around, and they would do exactly the same on the next table. So it's a sort of an inter-